Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted the Lord lately? He is good. He is good. And as we sang, His goodness is running after you, running after me, because He is good. Oh, blessed be the name of our Lord God and Savior, because He is so good. Amen and amen. Want to thank Pastor Christian publicly for stepping up to the plate, hitting a home run last week. As I woke up on Christmas morning about 4 a.m. with the shakes, and we just sang, "Nothing will be, you know, we will not be shaken." But I was shaken. And a little fever, about over a little bit over 100 and so forth, and just had that lightly. And just to calm your nerves, I had a COVID test, came back negative, so we're good to go. It was just a cold or flu, and it's been flying around. And so we need to be in prayer for those. My favorite mother-in-law, my only mother-in-law. She is my favorite. Hi, Mom. Came down with the fever and got laryngitis. And so she's home. And there are others. My oldest son, who had a birthday on New Year's Eve, has got the stuff, cold. So it's going around. So anyway, but we need to pray for those who are going through the flu bug and the colds and so forth, as well as there are some that we've heard in our church family that have gotten COVID as well, and or outside the church family, and we need to pray for those as well. So we're going to just take a moment again to pray for those, and we're going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah. We've been traveling through. The challenge that I have this morning is to try to do two sermons in one. Y'all look scared. Don't worry. And so we're going to look at chapters 8, 9, and 12, but I encourage you to go to chapter 12. And but let's seek the Lord this morning. Father, we are so thankful. When we think about your faithfulness and your goodness, our hearts are overwhelmed with gratitude. Because of who you are, that you pursue us with your love, your kindness, your gentleness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your Holy Spirit self-control working in our lives. But we thank you that you are pursuing us with your goodness. Oh, that we would be hungry for you, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, knowing that the promise is as we do come before you in our presence and hunger for you, Lord, that you will fill us. So fill us with your goodness today. May we have ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has for us as we dive into your word. And may your Holy Spirit speak to us, showing the deep truths so that we can be transformed into the image, into the likeness of your wonderful, beautiful Son, Jesus. We pray, Lord, for those who are sick. We ask an amazing anointing from your Holy Spirit to heal them. Through Christ's stripes, we are healed. And Lord, we thank you for that privilege as a believer. So we pray for those who are sick, whether it's a cold, whether it's a physical ailment, Lord, whether it's poor circulation, whether it's COVID, whatever it may be, Lord, I ask that you will be the great physician, the healer today. And so that we as a body of Christ can stand together and say, we will not be shaken. We will not be shaken. For in Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us so. So, Lord, I pray now that as we come to your word, that you will open up our hearts and our minds, that we'll be attentive to you, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been traveling together through trying to catch a glimpse of God's vision. So as we do, as we look ahead, what was 2021 like for you? How many of you stayed up past midnight? Well, some, a few brave, a few chosen. How many of you didn't stay up? Aren't you glad? No, all right. All right. But as we look back at 2021, what are you thankful for? Say, what? Most people are saying, man, I'm so glad that it's over. It's gone. And we can just look forward to 2022. What are you looking forward to 2022? That is not like 2021. And that is definitely not like 2020. Right? But if you could just pause for a moment. Just kind of take your breath. What would you say about 2021? Was there something God did that you can now rejoice over and praise God for? Think about it. Tom Vokar, he wrote in a blog on that was entitled Good Reasons to Celebrate More Often. He says this: by celebrating the completion of every small step, we leverage the powerful energies of gratitude and momentum. Thomas Edison taught us that even each mistake along the way is cause for celebration. Life is all about the journey, and that means that every step, as well as reaching our destination, is part of our journey. Celebrating at every juncture is recognition of a life well lived and well worked. You know, it seems that we're so eager to push the past behind us that we are in such a hurry that we don't take a moment to celebrate the good things that God has done in the past. We automatically think about, well, man, I just, you know, I hope 2022 is better because, you know, in 2021, I gained like 25 pounds. And I don't want that. I want to lose like 50 or whatever it may be, right? Charles Stanley, he says this. He says, it is good to celebrate what God has accomplished through his willing servants. This not only honors and praises the Lord who made it possible, but also encourages us to acknowledge his gracious work through us. I always think of that one hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. And it will surprise you. Why should it be a surprise? But it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, when we come to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day and the new year, we all want to make resolutions. We want this resolve within us somehow that we will make 2022 a better year. And so we eagerly push for those goals or those resolutions, whether it be I'm going to eat less chocolate or drink less coffee or whatever it may be. But we don't take a moment to pause and reflect on how good God has been to us. We think it may be because of our own ingenuity, because of our own design, because of our own talent. But it isn't. It isn't. It's because of God's grace, God's mercy, God's loving kindness. In your sermon notes, there is a paragraph that talks about the prerequisite in order to celebrate, dedicating to God when God's vision is accomplished. And Nehemiah had that, and we see that in chapter 8 and chapter 9. And I believe that's the next quote. It is a renewed commitment. And it says, a renewed commitment is the prerequisite for celebrating and dedicating God's accomplishments. Nehemiah and the people of God gathered in his presence, learned to understand the word of God, reads and hears the word of God being spoken, everyone was attentive and they developed a great respect and reverence for God's holy word. There is conviction, confession, and cleansing of sin. The people rediscovered God's commitment to them and they, in response, committed themselves afresh to Him. Right there, that paragraph was last week's sermon in a nutshell. Okay? Amazing what God did. As the people gathered together, the wall was finally built. This impossibility became a possibility because they trusted in God, who is the God of the impossible. Are you trusting in the God of the impossible? Do you believe that your situation that you're facing, you're finding yourself in, is just so overwhelming? There's just no way I can move forward? Hey, that is the moment when you need to trust God more. Dive into that relationship with Him because He is the God of the impossibilities and He will surprise you. And the first place to do that is have a renewed commitment to Him by gathering in His presence, by learning to understand what the Word of God is, by reading and hearing the Word of God, by being attentive to the Word of God. It is amazing when the high priest stood up in Nehemiah's day. They discovered the word of God and they opened up the law of the word because nobody had their own translation. Here we have translations after translations. We have apps on our phones or on our computers. We can study the word of God 24/7. And yet so often we allow the busyness of our days that we ignore the word of God. And here the people discover the word of God because they haven't had it and they stand for hours, not just a minute or a second or 30 minutes. They stand for hours to hear the word of God read, and they're attentive to the word of God, and they develop a great respect and reverence for the word, and they express worship through blessing and thanksgiving and humility and obedience, and they are so excited that they begin to help others understand the word of God, and then they let God speak to them and through them, and because of His amazing power, they begin to weep because of their conviction of sin. And Nehemiah says, no, 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 no. We need to celebrate because they've applied God's word to their life. Wow, there's a lot there for us. That's 8, 9, and so forth. And now we're in chapter 12. The vision is been accomplished. It was a burden. It becomes a vision, and God blesses. And we see in verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12 these words, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication. To celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings, and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres. L-Y-R-E-S, not L-I-A-R-S. L-Y-R-E-S was a stringed instrument. So they were coming together. And when God's vision is accomplished, it is a time to dedicate oneself to worship, to celebrate in worship what the Lord has done. What did the Lord do? The Lord restored the wall. It was an outward symbol that God's blessing had returned to the people of God and the city of God. It was an outward anointing that God was with His people, and His people were returning. They were recommitting themselves to Him, and they were now just filled with joy, celebrating with gladness, celebrating with thanksgivings, and celebrating with singing, and with, yes, it says there, what? Cymbals and harps and lyres, stringed instruments before God Almighty. Their hearts were full of joy, celebrating because they discovered that God had not forgotten them in the midst of the rubble. This morning, you may feel like your life is in rubble. I don't know. You may feel like there's no hope. I don't know. But God hasn't forgotten you. And he wants you to come into his presence, rededicating yourself, committing yourself to this wonderful experience of worship. I know that oftentimes you've heard it said that we get to practice here on earth, because guess what we're going to do in glory in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? We're going to worship him continually, all the time. And the worship leader will be Jesus Christ himself. And we get to be part of that heavenly orchestra and symphony and choir and worship the Lord. What a privilege. Here the conditions in Jerusalem, one commentator says, were dramatically better than when Nehemiah had arrived. Separated individuals had become a true people who, by God's grace, had achieved what had seemed impossible. Strong walls and protective gates had replaced rubble and burned timbers. Encouragement had overcome despair. It was a time to celebrate what God had accomplished through their faithfulness. Tobiah the Ammonite had mocked them, saying even the weight of a fox would cause their wall to crumble. Now the leaders of the people had two large choirs accompanied by musicians, stood atop the walls playing instruments, singing loudly and offering thanksgiving. It was an incredible time of rejoicing. Such joy-filled celebrations honors God and encourages even greater faith. I'm mindful of that phrase, the joy of the Lord is the strength of his people. We need to be a celebrating people, a joyful people, a people filled with thanksgiving, a people filled with gladness. Huh. It was interesting this morning in Sunday school in Acts, we were in Acts chapter 4. I was doing my very best to pinch hit. And in Acts 2, as we were doing the summary, there was this little aha moment in my thinking. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, it says there in verse 46, we know that verse in verse 42, it says, they, the new believers in Acts, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The early church was practicing loving God's word, spending time in communion with God in prayer, loving each other by experiencing fellowship with meals, and they received whatever their need was, they received from one another that need, and they received it with grumbling and criticism and complaints and hatred. Is that what it said? They received with that good thing with malice and slander and gossip and jealousy. They received that good food from their brothers and sisters in Christ with animosity and spite. No, they received it with gladness of heart. They were celebrating the good things of God. We have so often allowed this world to dictate in our thinking, in our actions, an ability of an ability of discontentment and not being thankful and disgratitude and selfishness and malice and, oh, I want more. I'll never forget when I first was working in ministry in DeLand, and as I was doing ministry, helping people would come to the church and say, Pastor, I need a handout. And we had a food pantry at that time in the church where I was serving, huge kitchen. And so I'd say, well, what do you want? Let me write it down. So I'll get you whatever. And I felt this gentleman came in and I filled up two full bags of groceries. I mean, they were packed full, paper bags, gave it to him. And the guy just put them down on the floor right there. And he started going through them and he goes, I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want that. You got any meat? I want you to come with me down to Winn-Dixie and I want some meat. So often we are filled with this idea of selfishness that I am entitled, and we're not grateful, we're not thankful, we don't receive what our brothers and sisters may give to us with a glad heart. And then we wonder why God hasn't answered prayer. Oh, that we would be a people who are rededicated to a joyful praise and worship, coming to Him with gladness, with thanksgivings. God is good. We need the Lord to open up our eyes and remove the blindness from our sight and see the good things that God has done and taste it. I see here Nehemiah, he dedicates because of worship. But then secondly, I see that when God's vision is accomplished, it's a time for dedication to participate. We read on, it says in verse 28, and the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the villages of the Nephathites, also from Beth Gilgal and from the region of Geba and Amzemaveth, for the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. What do we find here? We discover that God's vision is accomplished. The wall is built. I have to participate. I've got to join in the festivities. I got to be a part of that. I'm going to sing. I'm going to make a joyful noise. I want to be a worshiper. Yes, I might not be the most talented. I might not be the most gifted, but I'm going to participate. I'm going to join in. I'm not going to be an island isolated by myself, all alone, thinking I can make it in this world all by myself. No, I'm going to join in and be a part. One of the craziest things this pandemic has caused in the body of Christ is now people have used that. Some have used that as an excuse not to gather. They're perfectly all right. They're perfectly healthy. They've been maybe perfectly vaccinated or whatever. But they say, now I don't have to go. That's good. I got an excuse. No, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because God has a local word for His local people. Every church, the Holy Spirit is big enough, powerful enough, almighty enough to proclaim Christ's message to that local congregation. That's why it's important for us to gather to worship in gladness with thanksgiving, because God has a word for us. There's a word for you. Yes, it might be challenging that tradition that Pastor Christian talked about last week. It might be challenging the values to reexamine. Is it like what you want me to have, Lord? If not, then let me change it. Change it by the power of your Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. So remove anything that so swiftly entangles me or hinders me or grabs me, as Hebrews says. Let me throw it off. I don't want it anymore. I want to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, who for the joy, what? The joy. There it is again. Gladness, goodness, joy. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Sat down at the right hand of the Father. I want to keep my eyes on Him. Help me run that race. So I want to participate. I want to sing. I want to sing. One of the most beautiful things about our church is at times historically we've had the Easter choir. And that's always a challenge because you want the choir to sound good. And so you want good singers. But sometimes we had great spiritual singers. In other words, if you heard them sing, you'd go for cotton. But if you watched their face, they just would light the room up with the presence of Jesus. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. God wants you to participate within the body of Christ. He doesn't want you to sit on the sidelines. He doesn't want you to sit in the grandstands. He wants you to be a part of the work he's got for you. Thirdly, I see when God's vision is accomplished, it is a time for holiness. I need to dedicate myself to holiness. That's an impossibility. We see in verse 30, though, Nehemiah, he calls all the priests, and it says, and the priests and the Levites, what did they do? They purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Wow. They purified themselves. The verb purified ceremonially means outwardly, yes. They went through this ceremony of purification to restore someone who had maybe been impure. But it also speaks inwardly of an inward purity that only God can do. Louis Gigolo writes these words. He says, God is not like mankind. Though he created us in his image, God alone is holy. He is other. He is altogether on an entirely different plane than humans, not just a little bigger. Mankind does not look at God eye to eye. God stoops from the heights of heaven to make himself known to humanity, and when he reaches down to show us who he is, he leads with his glory. And if you want to know what God is like and who he is, you look to Jesus Christ. He is the exact representation of God to us. Jesus said this in his prayer. He said, Father, you and I are one in John 17. And then he disclosed, he says, and those that you've given to me, we are one. Therefore, you are one with them. There's this oneness that we have. And then he prays in verse 17, these beautiful words. He says to his Father, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Christ's desire is for you and I to know him, yes, but also to become like him, to be made holy, set apart from sin, set apart unto God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We can't do that in and of ourselves. We need God's Spirit at work within us. God did that in his love so that we could be reconciled with him. I see next that God's vision is accomplished. It's a time for dedication of leadership in verse 31 and in verse 40 of this chapter. Verse 31, then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall. Nehemiah is leading them by example and appointed two great choirs and gave thanks. One went to the south on the wall on the dung, and then after that, the other groups went around. So he had this big processional. Verse 40 says, so both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half of the officials with me. In other words, they had two big processionals. One group went this way, one group went that way. And when they met together and they celebrated. Glorious praise occurred. When the two processionals met, they formed two choirs, sang and praised God for all that he had done. New Bible commentary says, at last we reach what appears to be the climax of Nehemiah's career, the dedication of the wall whose construction so dominated the first half of the book. We see that material from Nehemiah's own personal account has been joined with an alternative source in order to present this combined version of the united celebration by the people. Two balanced processions were formed. And after leaving the city through the valley gate on the west of the city, they proceeded in opposite directions, each going halfway around the city before re-entering and joining up a united service of praise in the temple. The emphasis on their joy in verse 43 is unparalleled in its intensity, a healthy reminder of the biblical truth that the prospect of such joy may legitimately serve to strengthen us in enduring times of hardship. In verse 43, it says, and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced for God and made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. This processional was bigger than the Macy's Day Parade. It was huge because the city was in rubble. The people were disgraced, and now God had blessed them and returned, and they returned to God, and there was great celebration because reconciliation was taking place. Wow. And then I finally see here that when God's vision is accomplished, it's a time to offer sacrifices and give to God. Again, verse 43. It's amazing in that verse, if you count, it's like, okay, rejoiced, rejoice, joy, rejoiced, joy. Okay, five times it talks about being joyful. But what did they do? They offered great sacrifices that day. They gave to God. Why? Because notice the phrase, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. God had made them rejoice with great joy. Some people say, well, God's in the business of making my life miserable. He's out to get me. Have you ever heard about people talk like that? Some way or another? Maybe not exactly like that. God is pursuing you with his goodness. Too often we're too busy to stop and ponder and say, God, look what you've done. You've worked in my life in such a marvelous way that I am rejoicing. You have made me rejoice with great joy. Has God made you rejoice with great joy? Look to his son Jesus. So what is God saying to us this morning? What is he saying to you in his word? Have I celebrated what God has accomplished in you, in me? Have I dedicated myself to God and his purposes for my life, my family, my church, my community? What am I thankful to God for? What can I offer to God as a sacrifice of praise? What can I give to God as an offering of celebration for what he has done? You see, when the people here in verse 43, they gave sacrifices, they offered it to the Lord, to the establishment of the offerings in the temple, so God's ministers, God's people would not be without. They gave out of a joyful heart. They gave out of a joyful heart abundance. It was a sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise. God, you have made me glad, therefore I give whatever you need. No problem. Because you are great and you own, as the song says, you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, Lord, it's not hard for you to slaughter one more cattle and provide. And What can I offer to God as a sacrifice of praise? It's a sacrifice. That means it's going to cost me something. We so often want to hold our fists out when we need to really open up our hands and allow God to work. What can I give to God as an offering of celebration for what he has done? Is there a sense of joy in the Lord in my life? How could God's joy be made more manifest and known in me and through me? You can ask yourself these questions. Do you respond to others negatively, critically, or do you respond to others encouraging, lovingly? Are you quick to speak and slow to listen? Or are you slow to speak and quick to listen? If others listened to your conversations throughout the week, what would they say? That the joy of the Lord is definitely being expressed. What is keeping you from dedicating yourself wholly to the Lord? Celebrating in worship with gladness and thanksgiving. Participating. I'm going to be a part because God is doing such a good work in and through me. Participating, allowing his spirit to move in me to be make me more like Jesus, to become holy, set apart unto him, to renew my sphere of influence and leadership. And then to praise him in that by just giving out of a heart of thankfulness. Proverbs says the Lord loves a what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. What is the Lord saying? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Our desire is that, Lord, you would create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Lord, that we would delight in you, knowing that you will give us the desires of our heart because our heart's been fully transformed and totally yours. You've set it apart from sin. Sin no longer is master over us, those of us who are in Christ Jesus. You've set us free. Hallelujah. But there might be some here this morning who have struggled, who are trying to live in both worlds, attracted by the things of the world, the love of the flesh, or the desire for the things of life, filled with pride. Maybe there's a sense of entitlement. I'm not satisfied with the stuff I have. Oh God, I pray that you'll work by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'll move in such a way that if there's anyone there like that, Lord, that you will speak to them and help them to be satisfied with the Savior. To look full in his wonderful face. As the song says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And out of that visual sighting will come a sense of overwhelming joy and gladness and thankfulness of heart. Almighty God, we cannot thank you enough for all that you have done. For all that you've done this past year in 2021. But I praise you this moment for all the victories, known and unknown. I thank you publicly this morning for allowing us as a local assembly to be able to meet continually every week through 2021. I thank you, Lord, that you've kept the pandemic at away in the sense that we could come to worship you. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you provided financially, that the ministry of this church could go forward. I thank you, Lord, this morning for the provision of bringing fellow laborers into the harvest field, your servants for the Sadak family. I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for our elders who have risen to get involved in teaching the word. Praise you. I thank you for the leadership of our governing board, who has always sought the mind of Christ to bring honor to him, even in tough decisions. I thank you. I thank you for the staff you've given to us as a church family, for Scott and for Stacy, for Megan, and again for Christian, for allowing us the privilege and the honor to serve you by serving your people. And Father, I publicly thank you for this congregation, for their love for you, their faithfulness to you, their desire to want to be that person who's filled with gladness of heart and lives the Christ-like life. So, Lord, as we go forward in 2022, Father, may we go only as you lead us by your Spirit. May we go in your power, in your presence, fulfilling your purpose, filled with praise for your glory, we ask. And we'll give you all the thanks, for we celebrate. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We celebrate the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.